This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, the Canadian Cattlemen's Association held an hour-long Zoom call yesterday afternoon. It was to discuss what could be done to feed cattle this winter in light of the drought conditions being experienced across Western Canada this summer. We'll hear from Arnold Balicki, who is the chair of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association. We'll also hear from Tyler Fulton, who is the president of the Manitoba Beef Producers, and Kevin Boone, who is the general manager of the BC Cattlemen's Association, will all be on today's program. The Western Canadian wheat growers have launched an awareness campaign focused on the federal government's proposed 30% reduction in fertilizer emissions. President Gunter Yochum joins us on today's program. And calls to the farm stress line in Saskatchewan are up an estimated 20% this summer. We'll catch up with Executive Director Jan Thorson on that. So all of those stories and much, much more coming up on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Phil, we have a lot of smoke in the air, and we've heard some reports of some rain in the area. Could we get some more before the day is over?
Yeah, there's actually quite a bit of it around. The fact that we're not getting it is actually a testament to the lightness of a lot of it. Some of it is trying to reach the ground and not succeeding. Now, it's not trying that hard. The way we can tell is that when the rain mixes through, it will tend to disperse some of the smoke a bit. So while we're still dealing with the smoke, especially where the smoke is a little bit thicker, we're really not seeing rain make us a serious attempt to falling to the ground. But to the west, Regina areas north, north and east, and another cluster right along the Trans-Canada, pretty close to the border, there are a couple of showers. And over the course of the afternoon, these showers will be around. It's part of a wave of low pressure that is sliding eastward. It's pushing a front almost eastward, a little bit north-northeastward, or east-northeastward, and that's why these showers are getting close. The core of this low is still in eastern Montana, and it's not likely to cross the border, but the rain is all ahead of the front, so it's sitting over southeastern Saskatchewan, southwestern Manitoba. Through the afternoon, I think most of us are going to see some rain, isolated showers. Mostly light, again, there's a lot of light rain around, but a few pockets of more moderate rainfall, amounts likely measurable, especially where rain lasts for more than 10 or 15 minutes. Temperatures making it to the low 20s, highly variable temperatures, though, so many factors. The smoke, the showers, the partial sunshine is helping things out, but those other two factors work against. So anywhere between really 20 and 24 for us. Winds generally around 20 kilometers per hour, seeing a few gusts over the last little while, upwards of 25, 35 on the gust side. During the night, that will continue, partly cloudy sky, 15 to 30 kilometer per hour wind, but as the storm system pulls away, the rainfall will slide first into Manitoba, out of Saskatchewan, and then through the night out of western Manitoba, leaving us all with a partly cloudy sky tonight, below 14. The warm air is south of this front, and as I mentioned, the low pressure area is sitting to our south, so the warm air is sitting to our south. But that's only one section of this front, which actually stretches from just to the northeast of Newfoundland, back through the Great Lakes, back through the northern U.S., back into British Columbia, and then trails back to the south, too, into California. This whole system is taking a little bit more of a lift northeastward. It's going to bring that ridge farther northward. We're back into the 30s with that tomorrow. Again, the smoke will inhibit temperatures a bit, so 32 on the average. some of us, where the smoke thickens up a little bit through the day. The wind is not that strong. It's not enough to really scour the atmosphere out. We'll be in the upper 20s. Clear sky for Wednesday night, a little smoky, 17, partly to mostly sunny on Thursday, 35, 35 on Friday, but noticeably breezier and drier. Fire danger comes up Friday and Saturday with a gusty breeze and dew points falling back pretty close to zero both days. The temperature Saturday near 31.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour, the Paw is at 22 degrees, Swan River, Dauphin, and Roblin 18, Brandon 19, Show Lake Russell 20. Regina is at 20 degrees, Saskatoon, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head 19, Hudson Bay 22, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington 17. The Yorkton-Melville region has smoke, a south-southeast wind at 21 kilometers an hour. 85% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 20 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of 22 degrees and dropped to a low of 15 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is 24 degrees. The normal low is 12 degrees. The sun rose in Yorkton at 4:58 this morning, and it will set at 8:54 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was Gimli at 27 degrees. The cold spot, Kelsey Dam, at plus 2 degrees. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Mankota at 34 degrees, the cold spot South End at plus 4 degrees. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return right after this. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. The Canadian Cattlemen's Association held an hour-long Zoom call yesterday afternoon. It was to discuss what could be done to feed cattle this winter, in light of the drought conditions being experienced across Western Canada this summer. Arnold Balicki is chair of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association. He commends Saskatchewan Agriculture Minister David Merritt for measures taken already, but some additional measures are needed. He says more meetings are planned this week.
In Saskatchewan, you can go down 5 inches and there is not a drop of moisture. I do want to commend Minister Merritt for his swiftness in responding to the crisis situation when it was brought up that we needed some help. You know, he lowered the threshold for the low yield so that crop guys can, who want to, have their crop written off and allow livestock producers to go in and salvage that for feed. So that was huge. He made some announcements to our water programs. You know, the up to $150,000 now for livestock producers up until March 31st from April 1st. And that's good. And you know, the first $50,000 is 50% shared, and then the other $100,000 is cost shared, 70% government, 30% producer, and that's all fine. But as producers tell me, we have to have the money in our pocket to even do the first part of our deal for purchasing or expanding irrigation or wells or piping, and they don't have the money. And so that's the big concern. There's two things going on here. First, we need access to feed supply. We need good quality drinking water for our livestock. And then the second component is we need some money in our genes so that we can afford to buy the feed and do the water works that's required. So that's where we're from in Saskatchewan. You know, we need additional measures to get us through this. And Minister Merritt is really on top of it, and he understands the predicament we're in. We're having a roundtable meeting. The livestock industry is having a roundtable meeting with him on Thursday. Myself, an executive, and some of our staff are meeting in person in Regina with him to further update where we're at and possibly go through some solutions that we can go forward on. More things need to happen. And it was great. He asked to have the entire province designated as eligible for a livestock tax deferral program for all producers. And let's forget about the designated area. Yes, there is a couple of pockets that have had some rain and it's not bad, but the entire province for the most part is in dire need. And as we all know, precipitation does not stop at any municipal boundary or any road. And so to designate certain areas would just not work this year. It's all wrong to do that. So I'm very proud that he took the initiative to ask for the entire province. As I understand it, Minister Merritt was one of the first ag ministers to start the process for ag recovery with the feds by sending in a request to do so. So, hats off to him for that. He's really working hard with us. The stress that these producers are going through is just unimaginable. I've had so many phone calls that I can't even count the number of phone calls. But I want producers to rest assured that SEA is working behind the scenes almost daily, if not daily, to try and work with both levels of government to come up with some type, and CCA, to come up with some type of better programming so that we can acquire the feed and move forward. And so I know we're not out in the media, and that is for good reason. SEA is not a grandstanding organization. We will not go out and make statements until we have it verified by governments or whoever else. And so just I just ask producers to bear with us that we are working on it, and not to get upset or think that we're not doing anything, because we are. We're working on your behalf. And there are a lot of things. For instance, I think all the crops north of Blaine Lake, whatever grain producer wants to allow salvaging of that feed for the livestock producer, I think we can supply the entire province. There's a lot of feed to be accessed up here. And we have people drive by and say, oh, you got a pretty nice crop. Yes, we do. It's knee high. It's green, or kind of green. But it's like driving by a forest and saying, well, that's a terrific forest, but it's not. If you get out and start looking at the trees individually, it's not that great. And that's how this crop is. You pull out plants, the root system is dead. The heads are filling, they're white. And there's the odd kernel in there. Most of it is chaff. So yeah, it's deceiving. It's not that great. The other thing that was brought up to us, and it's really a great discussion I think we need to push forward on, and that is the orderly marketing of all the cull cows that are going to be coming to town if producers can't acquire the feed resources they need and decent quality of water. And I'm not saying we're looking at a set-aside program, but I think the industry and government and the packing houses need to come up with a plan to be able to handle the number of animals that are going to come to slaughter. And how they're going to do that, I'm not quite sure. And I'm hoping that'd be a discussion we can have with Minister Merritt on Thursday. But animal welfare will be an issue if producers completely run out of any type of feed source, and they have to get these cattle to market, and the slaughter facilities do not have the capacity to slaughter them for a time period. So those things are all there. All I can say is this is the worst episode of drought that I've ever seen in the province. In my history, and I am getting up in age. I know Southern Saskatchewan from time to time, yes, they have droughts, but not to this extreme. And the drought years on top of drought years has depleted all of our moisture resources that are there. And so there just isn't enough to have the feed supply we need, or the quality of water we have. Even if we got rain now, it's not really going to help this year. Maybe with the water supply it would, but as far as the feed supply, it's not going to help this year, but it would help rejuvenate our grasslands for next year.
That's Arnold Balicki, the chair of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX94, Ag Review.
Although flax prices have held pretty much steady over the last few weeks, prices will soon increase, according to Dale McManus of Johnston's in Welwyn. McManus says prices for old crop brown and yellow flax were presently about $24 per bushel. New crop flax was at $18 per bushel. He says by the time we get done harvest, it's going to be a lot higher than that, suggesting prices could top off at the $28 to $30 a bushel level. Drought and declining crop conditions across the prairies have been driving factors behind increases in flax prices and those for other crops. In the June supply and demand report from Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada, about 585,000 metric tons of flax were expected to be gleaned off of Canadian fields in 2021-22. That was to be an upward nudge of 1.2% compared to the previous crop year, and 16.9% more than 2019-2020. Flax in Saskatchewan was pegged at 23% good to excellent in this province's crop report Thursday. In Manitoba, flax was reported to be in the late flowering stage with bolls forming, while plants were reported to be on the short side. The agriculture arms of one of Canada's major telecoms providers and a major Dutch bank and financial services firm are taking a stake in a tech firm in the business of gathering on-farm data into a single window. TELUS Agriculture and Rabo AgriFinance, which is headquartered in St. Louis and serves U.S. farm customers, has announced they've jointly bought software firm Conservice for an undisclosed sum. Conservice comes to the joint venture already handling farmers' financial reporting data via the Rabo AgriFinance platform since 2018, along with data from ClimateCore's Climate FieldView platform, the John Deere Operations Center, and Crop Data Management System's Crop Chemical Database. The Minneapolis company's products are meant to allow a farmer to integrate as applied and yield data directly from those platforms into a unified view of the business with no extra hardware or manual data re-entry required. Calgary-based TELUS Agriculture has been shopping for farm management platforms since before TELUS created the new ag unit last year, among them Decisive Farming, Farm at Hand, Muddy Boots, and Feedlot Health Management Services. A new report from the Canadian Agri-Food Policy Institute has revealed that chronic wasting disease, an illness that affects deer and other hoofed mammals, could have the potential to infect humans. The report, which detailed recent findings from a study on CWD transmission in Alberta and Saskatchewan, found that macaque monkeys can contract the disease, making the likelihood of human transmission much higher than previously thought. Macaques share an estimated 93% of their DNA with humans and are frequently used in medical studies to examine human impact. This discovery indicates particular risk for hunters and indigenous communities, who are the primary consumers of elk and caribou meat. The Canadian Agri-Food Policy Institute's report presents an action plan that vulnerable groups can use to protect against infection. The Institute recommends that hunters test their meat before sale or personal consumption, which not only keeps people safe, but also contributes to research by revealing CWD hotspots. Testing requires hunters to submit the heads of the animal they kill, but the process should be improved. In Saskatchewan, according to the province's website, fresh or frozen heads can be dropped off at select Ministry of Environment field offices, parks offices, or self-service drop-off locations, with results available in roughly 6 weeks. And that is the Ag Review portion of our program. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return in 1 minute's time. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Faulkner. We have smoke and 20 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. As we told you earlier in the program, the Canadian Cattlemen's Association held an hour-long Zoom call yesterday afternoon. It was to discuss what could be done to feed cattle this winter in light of the drought conditions being experienced across Western Canada this summer. Tyler Fulton is president of the Manitoba Beef Producers. He says it's very dry in his province as well.
It's widespread deficit in moisture, with areas in particular around the Interlake and some of the southwest portions of the province that are dire, where there's simply no pasture, that there hasn't been pasture for weeks now, and there's very little prospect for winter feed production in those areas as well. At this point, we could see a positive weather event, but it really wouldn't move the needle in terms of our ability to produce enough winter feed, I think, for the cow herd to be able to maintain it. So that's where a large focus of ours has been. I would say with our at Manitoba Beef Producers, our focus has kind of been two ways, short-term and long-term. We've really worked over the course of the last few weeks to secure some type of an incentive for crop producers to convert to alternate use, just to be able to create and produce as much winter feed as we can to mitigate the effects across the industry. But I think maybe one aspect that maybe hasn't been touched on in greater detail is the fact that we know that there's already thousands of animals that are moving to that have moved to market, and that we know that there just likely won't be enough feed to maintain the herd in the size that we've been used to, and so as a result of of that reality, I think that Manitoba Beef Producers is could have an aspect of our ask to be considerate of those producers that have had to make those tough but rational decisions in order to maintain good humane care for the animals, to move them. And so we think that maybe some type of support that would help a recovery in the herd in the long run, maybe part of our ask. And our intention is to flesh that out and get consensus really before the end of this week. I think that covers most of it. I wanted to make you aware that Manitoba 2 has put the request in for agri recovery assessment. It was done late last week. Of course, we've had a bit of a disruption in our political representation, given that our ag minister is new as of Thursday, replacing another one, but I'm confident that he's aware of the situation, and we've already had meeting with his staff this morning to make sure that we're all on the same page.
That's Tyler Fulton. He is the president of the Manitoba Beef Producers.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for August closed at 119.77 today. That's down 47. October live cattle closed at 124.70, down 40. August feeder cattle closed at 155.52, down 185. September feeder cattle closed at 157.77, down 127. August lean hogs closed at 105 even, that's up 52. October lean hogs closed at 91.02, up 165. And that's the livestock market conditions. Well, the big story in British Columbia is the record number of wildfires. Those blazes not only destroy trees, but summer grazing pastures as well. Kevin Boone is the general manager of the BC Cattlemen's Association. He says the situation is more serious in central and southern regions of that province.
We're in a different situation out here where the northern part of the province is a little better situation than the southern, but when we come from mid-province south, in the interior, it has had no moisture basically since early April, perhaps late March. Cold spring really deterred the start of a lot of the crops in the first place. And then the heat event that took place in early June, late May, created a real issue for us as well. When you start getting temperatures up in the mid to high 50s, record highs of 49.5, it has just literally parched the grass that was there. So we're in an extremely drought-ridden position where hay production is way down, but more severely is the fire situation right now. Typically, we don't start fires till the end of July. This year, we had them burning the end of June. We have to date burnt 275,000 hectares, well over 500,000 acres of land. Most of this is in our prime grasslands. And so while we call them forest fires, they're wildfires that are taking out that grass. So not only are we down in what our winter supply is, we're now eating up our summer and winter supplies with fire, which will have no recovery for it. So we're in a double whammy situation of losing our summer pasture and much of our winter as we move forward. It's really extremely hard for us to predict where this is going to come out. Right now, we have over 300 wildfires that are burning. We've had 1,100 burn to date. A typical year, we won't have 300 burn. And here we are 2 weeks into it with over 1,100 have burnt and 300 burning. So that aspect of it is going to make it extremely difficult for us to predict how much shortages we'll have, but we know it will be severe. We are looking at opportunities for supplementing that in spots such as from the lower mainland and whatnot, but it's going to be extremely difficult. The provincial government here has come forward and announced that there will be recovery assistance for fire in some form. It will probably emulate much of what it was in 2017. But here again, our biggest concern is going to be, can we save that mother cow herd and our base herd here and carry on?
Kevin Boone is the general manager of the BC Cattlemen's Association and was speaking on a Zoom conference call yesterday organized by the Canadian Cattlemen's Association. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. The Western Canadian wheat growers have launched an awareness campaign focused on the federal government's proposed 30% reduction in fertilizer emissions. President Gunter Yochum says the proposal is unrealistic.
The government has it on the radar to reduce greenhouse gas emissions at the farm level by through fertilizer use. And so they want to reduce fertilizer emissions by 30%, but they haven't really said how they want to do it or how they're going to do it. We've heard from some people that they're planning to do it by an actual tonnage reduction of fertilizer. So let's say you used 100 tons of fertilizer last year, then the following year, or as soon as they implement this, it's nowhere being implemented yet, it's just thought of, but then it would be, you'd only be able to use 70 tons of fertilizer. So it's a little bit ludicrous to make claims like that.
How would a reduction in fertilizer affect the average farmer?
Well, it would be a huge impact. You know, we all know what happens if you use a third less fertilizer. I mean, fertilizer is a plant nutrient. It's what the plants live off of. It's their food. It's plant food. And if you withhold 30%, you're going to get less yield. Fertilizer Canada has done some rough calculations. They've used their modeling software, and they said a 30% absolute reduction for a farmer with 1,000 acres of canola and 1,000 acres of wheat would see their profits reduced by $30,000 to $40,000 each annually. So that's quite significant. Those are big numbers.
But the federal government says they want Canadian farmers to produce more grain to export around the world.
Absolutely. You know, the Barton Report, they were all excited about it. They said, yeah, we better increase production, grain production in Canada to $85 billion a year. So how are we going to do that? By reducing the actual use of fertilizer. What they should be looking at, what the government, if they are really concerned about fertilizer use on farms in Canada, they should be looking at things like the 4R nutrient stewardship approach, you know, where you are basically, it's based on scientific principles, where you are, the 4Rs stand for the right source, the right rate, at the right time, and the right place. So farmers don't want to waste fertilizer, we want to use it at the right time, and the right rate, you know. It's the 4R nutrient management plan. So that would be a scientific way of going about. And lots of farmers already use that. Fertilizer is extremely expensive, so it's not that we're out there spreading fertilizer willy-nilly, you know. We're very target-specific, and we're just trying to use fertilizer as efficiently as possible.
And you don't want producers breaking up grassland in order to meet Ottawa's grain export goals.
Oh, for sure not. No. That's, again, that's totally counterproductive again. No, we want to utilize good, high-quality grain land and utilize it to its maximum potential by utilizing fertilizer properly, utilizing best management practices in order to maximize returns. And it's just a logical thing to do. You know, it's like us humans. You eat according to the Canadian Food Guide. That is, it gives you the most bang for your buck. And it's the same with fertilizer and plant nutrients.
And how can producers help you out with your awareness campaign?
Absolutely. They can contact their MP, buy a membership at the Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association to help us make our government aware of what farmers actually need instead of the government flailing about on their own. So, but for sure, call your MPs, even get your provincial governments involved, call your MLAs. It's very important to get everybody made aware of what's coming down the pipe.
Any final thoughts on the campaign?
Besides water and rain that we need so badly this year, taking away plant food from farmers would be just another nail in the coffin. Let's do things right in Canada. You know, farmers in Canada are amazing. We produce the highest quality food, and don't prevent us from doing the job that we do so well already.
And finally, how close are you to starting harvest operations on your farm west of Winnipeg?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, conditions aren't great. The last significant rainfall we had was June 9, 10, and 11, we had a good soaker of a rain, and since then we've had maybe maybe 2 1-millimeter events, which is really nothing. And so it's extremely dry. Our early seed of wheat is ripening, so the yield is set there. It actually, because it was in the ground so early and was able to benefit from those, from that early moisture, it looks okay. It might go average, our farm average, but canola looks awful. And our soybeans are still hanging on, but it could be very troubling here shortly if we don't get the rain. Our oats looks terrible. It absolutely is terrible. It will be less than average crop, severely less than average, and it will be very light oats. Not a good situation. But I think we will be in the field with wheat harvest probably within about 2 weeks.
Gunter Yoakum is the president of the Western Canadian Wheat Growers Association. It's time now for the Commodities Update, and that's a presentation of Ray Nordine, your REMAX Bridge City Realty Agent.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures closed up across the board today. November canola closed at $909.10, up $11 per metric ton. January canola closed at $891.40, up $11.70. September Minneapolis wheat closed at $916 per bushel, down 7¾ of a cent. September Kansas City wheat closed at $660¼, up 8 cents. September Chicago wheat closed at $7.50, up 2¾ of a cent. September corn closed at $5.71¾, up 15¾ of a cent. August soybeans closed at $14.43½, up 15½ cents. September oats closed at $4.50¾, up 19 cents. And that's the Commodities Update. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. The East Central Research Foundation near Yorkton is conducting a study to determine if oat protein can be increased without reducing test weights. Research Coordinator Mike Hall and Research Assistant Heather Sorstad have the details.
End users would like to see higher levels of protein in milling oats, so a trial was designed to determine if providing late season nitrogen to oats could increase grain protein, like it does for wheat.
We are also interested to see how late in-season nitrogen affects oat test weight.
Added nitrogen tends to lower test weight, which could potentially result in discounts or even outright rejection of shipments. However, late-season application of nitrogen might be able to increase grain protein without reducing test weight or delaying maturity. I guess we'll wait and see.
In this study, UAN at 30 pounds of nitrogen per acre will be dribble banded or broadcast sprayed at either the boot stage or post-synthesis to a base rate of either 60 or 90 pounds of nitrogen per acre of side-banded urea.
We have also included a couple of treatments with an additional 30 pounds of nitrogen per acre of ESN as a slow-release urea. Though not often economical, these strategies typically will increase wheat protein by about 0.5%. We'll have to wait and see what they can do with oats. Funding for this trial was received from grain millers.
Mike Hall is the research coordinator and Heather Sorstad is the research assistant at the East Central Research Foundation near Yorkton.
Farm Bulletin Board.
Rocky Mountain Equipment has announced the Right By You Ag Society grant, which will support agricultural societies across the prairies. The program will award 4 grants of $10,000 each. To be eligible, the application must fulfill the following requirements. The applicant is an agricultural society in Alberta, Saskatchewan, or Manitoba. The proposed project must be completed within 2 years of receiving funding, and the proposed project must enhance the lives of community residents. The deadline to apply is fast approaching. It's July 30th, and successful applicants will be announced on September 30th. And that's all the time we have for today's Farm Bulletin Board. It's coming up on 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. The GX94 Precision Weather Forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions. A special air quality statement is in effect due to the smoke. For today, partly sunny, winds south-southeast at 15 to 25, and a high of 24. For tonight, partly cloudy, winds southeast at 15 to 30, and a low of 14. Tomorrow, sunny with areas of smoke, winds southeast at 15 to 25, a high of 32. Thursday, partly to mainly sunny, winds south-southeast at 15 to 25, and a high of 35. For Friday, sunny and windy, also a high of 35. Saturday, sunny and windy, a high of 31. In the Paw, it's 22 degrees. Swan River, Dauphin, and Roblin are at 18. Brandon, 19. Shoal Lake, Russell, and Regina, 20. Saskatoon, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, 19. Hudson Bay, 22. Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, 17. The Yorkton, Melville region has smoke, a south-southeast wind at 21 kilometers an hour. 85% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 20 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX, a Harvard radio station serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.